podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Hope you are all doing well. It is the evening after the day before. I think that's the saying. I'm not too sure. But yeah, we're here. We couldn't quite do it yesterday, but we are here to discuss Liverpool's 2-0 win against Everton. And obviously, I had to bring a scouser onto the panel to discuss such a big game. But Elliot, obviously, you're speaking to me about how your dad is a Blue. So how was it for you, mate?
It's always been a fun leading up to it, like to land off, walking the door, just asking him in his face, looking forward to it. But I think we were both a bit disappointed yesterday. I know Liverpool won, but the game was a bit flat, so I'm sure we'll get into it. But just debate when to go and get an arse if I don't know, because I'm sat here freezing.
Absolutely. And obviously, Shigsy Boy is back on the channel. How are you, mate?
I'm very well, thank you. Thanks for having me back. I've missed doing these, man, so yeah, good to be back.
Yeah, absolutely. And guys, if you're in here, if you're watching on the replay, please make sure to smash the like button, subscribe to the channel. Also, check out our amazing podcast sponsor, Your Foot Card. As you can see, there's all sorts of stuff going on for Christmas promotions, all these different cards you can get. You can get your own picture on there with your own stats, or you can get ones that are already made, like Trent Alexander-Arnold here. If you use TAT Pod at checkout, you do get a cheeky 15% off any order. So, yeah, check out those guys. Also, keep your eye out because we're always running giveaways with them. We just gave away 12K FIFA points and 2 prints. So, yeah, make sure you stay tuned on Twitter. Boys, without any further ado, let's get straight into it. Let me share this tab because this is how we always like to start these podcasts. Elliot, come to you, mate. The lineup comes out. To be fair, didn't really see too much disagreement with it this time. I think people have been calling for this midfield to start. Obviously, I think on the preview show, we sort of said that Endo could possibly start this one. But Klopp decided to go with those three. Obviously, Tsimikas as well started at left back, which was the debate whether he's going to go over centre back there. He used to go over his backup left back. And obviously, Darwin Nunes didn't start because of the Uruguay game, and he did come on, and the rest is history. And we'll talk about Darwin Nunes, of course, a bit later on, because that is my favourite thing to do in life. But Elliot, what was your figure when you saw that team, mate? Confident?
Never confident. I hate it. I hate the derby with every bit of me, but it's why I love it so much as well. So never come. I have it in my head that Michael Keane was going to come on and do a Jagielka and win it for them, but didn't happen, frankly. The lineup, I mean, Endo, I was calling for Endo to start in the last show I was on, but I think McAllister at home against low blocks is perfect. It's what he probably was also bought for as well, as playing a little bit of an eight, but it seems that he's the six from now, from when he joined, so makes perfect sense. Tsimikas, he's got to be given a chance, because otherwise, what's the point? You give him a new contract, what's the point in having the backup left back? But not to be so negative after a win, he just doesn't fill me with confidence. And it's one thing I always back him to do is put a good ball in. And I remember 2 seasons ago, Robertson was injured at the start of the year and got an assist against Burnley. I think there was another one against someone, maybe Palace, maybe I'm thinking, remember it wrong. But the crosses were great. The left foot was brilliant. And yesterday, he was poor with some of their deliveries. And to be honest, I was a bit surprised that Matter didn't start, because I thought he'd maybe leaning towards him. And I know that was a big controversy, which people are still, you know, going on about, which is the right button. I feel like we can all a bit maybe just move on. Maybe I'm being a bit biased there, but no.
No, we'll get into it. Trust me.
Yeah. The lineup, I mean, again, I don't think you can put out a lineup these days really going, you know, with this. I mean, I never really would be disappointed, but I think if we go a couple of weeks from now, I mean, I know there's another international break, but if we're still seeing Tsimikas with another poor performance, I'd like to see Gomez in that left back spot, because I think he's solid, and it would help the system be more 3-3-2-5 or whatever it is, rather than, I know he maybe not leading towards that, but if he wants to have a go with it, why not with Gomez?
Absolutely. And Shiggs, what's your take on that, mate? Do you agree?
Not with the Tsimikas take. I think Tsimikas just needs to be given a few more games. Like, I know.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah.
Yeah. I get it. No, he hasn't been, his performance hasn't been the greatest, but I can't, apart from, when's the last time, did he play against Leicester?
I think so. Yeah, I think he played Europa League as well, League game.
I get it, I know that obviously we want everybody to play. First of all, I'll start off with the lineup. Personally, I know I was hoping that Endo would start in this game, just because I wanted to see him play. And I kind of with you, Elliot, you know, when we had the last rundown on the game we had, I just wanted to see Endo get a chance, but I wasn't mad. And part of it was thinking because of the last couple of games whereby we've come back from an international break, McAllister hasn't had his great
game.
So I was kind of like, okay, I didn't want to give Everton any incentive to have a go at us and by us starting poorly in the first half. So I was hoping Endo would start. But to be honest with you, McAllister didn't really put a foot wrong. I think I was happy that Gravenberch started as well. Because
absolutely.
Can we just take our cap off to this guy? This guy is a baller. Like, the way he receives the ball, it really does remind me of Gini, where like he takes the ball on the half turn. And with his first touch, he's already gone past the player. So it's just refreshing to see. So I wasn't disappointed with the start, but I just wanted to see Endo. But like I said, I was happy with the team, with Tsimikas. I just think he needs a few more games, because it's all well and good being on the bench and seeing how he plays, but you need to get into that rhythm of
playing. I think my point is with that is if we've got a couple of weeks down the line and the performance still aren't up to a standard, which we should be seeing, I think Gomez deserves to probably to have a go with it.
Yeah, fair enough.
It will be interesting as well going on to, we'll finish on this topic, so I don't want to get into it too much, to lose on Thursday, because now we're having to use Tsimikas in the main team. Is he going to go with a youth player? Is Luke Chambers still?
Maybe. Luke Chambers and then Scanlon was on the bench, wasn't he? So, I mean, maybe Tsimikas an hour and then we see one of the kids if Liverpool are in a comfortable position.
I wouldn't be mad at it.
It makes sense.
For us to test
maybe
see Quanta in there again as well. But we'll get to that later.
Yeah, we'll get onto that, absolutely. Big up, Sam. This is the lad that does some of our matchday graphics. So if you see some of the incredible graphics on our Twitter account, this is the genius behind them. We've got another lad as well called Ryan. But Sam does a lot of them for us. Big up, mate. Hope you're good. I agree with everything you said. I think Elliot hit the nail on the head for me. Unless we've got an injury crisis, there's not really a lineup that he can put out, which I'd be like, not sure. Like any combination now, we've got those midfielders, we've got those defenders. Obviously, we know that there are a couple more areas where we probably need to strengthen in January, and I think we probably will bring in somebody. But for now, whilst the only injuries we have really are Stefan and Thiago, I think we're in a good spot. Obviously, Curtis Jones is suspended; he'll be back soon. Darwin Núñez wasn't able to start the game, but he was still an option. So I was happy with it, to be honest. I like all of those forwards. There's been a lot of nonsense going around about Luis Diaz, which I don't really want to get into, but I think
he's a left back now.
Exactly. Yeah.
Can I just speak on that quickly?
Of course you can. Yeah.
With the Luis Diaz thing, it's not that I'm getting on him, but I just feel like. I feel like he's got so much more in his locker, and then he doesn't always make the right decision. That's the only I think he's a quality player, but just sometimes.
Fair enough, though, Shiggs.
That's the only qualm I've got against
him. Some people going too far, yeah. Some people saying that he's not good enough and all this stuff. That he's clearly good enough to play for Liverpool.
Come on, let's be serious.
But yeah, let's get into the game then, because obviously we could I could talk about people on Twitter and their stupid agendas all night. We could actually do a stream on it one day. Like, you know what? Next international break, let's do it. Let's talk about the start of the game then, Elliot. I was speaking to you off air before we went live, and we was talking about how. It seemed to be at the start of the game, we were just letting Everton do whatever they wanted. And then we just thought, you know what, we're going to hit you on the break. And there were so many counters, wasn't there, which we just couldn't get right in the decisive moment.
Yeah, he was. I mean, I said Dyche away from home against, I suppose, a big six, maybe a couple of others, would probably look to play on the set pieces, which is more than fine. He's got a result against Liverpool doing that, Burnley, that horrid 1-0 game of the week. He missed the one-on-one. So, I was probably expecting, but there was a couple of counters. The one where Szoboszlai plays it to Diaz and Young gets a good tackle before he goes off. I think Szoboszlai should play Salarin. No, it's maybe a bit of a more difficult ball, but that's what he signed for. You know, play the difficult ball, Salah's in on one-on-one. But listen, I'm not one to tell him what to do, you know what I mean? But, I think Liverpool were okay for the first 20 minutes. I mean, I think the derby's always a bit tentative, isn't it? But, you know, as I said, I don't want to feel like I'm speaking as an Everton fan by any chance, but I wanted Everton to be a bit more on the front, not on the front foot necessarily with the ball, but, you know, get into the ball faces. It makes a bit more rowdy. I mean, maybe wake the crowd a little bit more because the Arsenal kickoff kills the crowd. It kills the crowd for any game. Everyone's still probably off the kick. It felt a bit dull, and maybe Liverpool just waiting for the opening, which they knew they were probably going to get. And their red card obviously happens, doesn't it? Which can make the games difficult. We've seen Liverpool be on the beneficiary of that, obviously, with the Newcastle game, which I still think about every day, to be honest. No, I think Liverpool coped it fine. They probably just let it go to our time for 10 men and let Klopp or Linders have his weird to see where they can get at them.
Yeah, absolutely. And Shig, just leading on to that red card, mate, obviously it was a combination of two yellows from Ashley Young. There was people saying it was harsh and it ruins the game and all of this. No. But at the end of the day, Shigs, it was
bang on yellows.
A yellow card is a yellow card.
Like, no matter how quick they come into each other.
The yellow card is a yellow card. Look, I'll put it, if the player doesn't make that tackle, does the card give a ref? Does the referee give a card?
No.
Like, I know people are always common sense. Listen, look, I understand when they're saying, oh, there's a little bit of leeway they give. He's already had one yellow card. But hold on, isn't it for the players to be disciplined when they're playing, if they're on the yellow card?
Yeah, I mean, they know, don't they? They should know. I mean, I forgot how bang on the first one was until I watched it on Master Day. So I don't think they can.
Yeah, like, it's not like, and this is the thing, it's not like the yellow cards that they gave them were like, oh, you know what, that's not really a yellow card. Both of them were yellow cards.
I think the only thing Evertonians probably had was the Tsimikas. Tsimikas looked like a bit of a headless chip in the first half now, and I think he probably should have got one himself. So maybe that was the problem.
I'm not disputing that he should have got a yellow card. Canate should have been sent off as well. But at the end of the day, if we're going off what Ashley Young done, they were both yellow cards. There's the first one, he blatantly took him out.
Yeah, because Tsimikas is going into the box and he's going to put the ball in. He's going to release it to someone. And you can't say that, like, those two fouls that he did are not both yellows to make the game better as a spectacle. Like,
no, because the referee is just getting it wrong then at that point. If you're saying, I want 11 be 11. Game.
Not make a always spectacle want 11 for people watching
at home. Young
just gets it wrong the second one.
No. We get on referees' back because they don't make certain decisions, and then when they make the decision what the law states, people want to get on them. Listen, they were both yellow cards. If he wants to blame anybody, he should blame himself. If you don't make them tackles, the referee don't give you a card. It's as simple as that. Like,
he boosted the ball away,
and he didn't get yellow cards in that either.
I celebrated. I'm not even going to lie to you. I celebrated the red card as much as I did one of the goals because it's actually.
No, but you know what though?
When he played for Man United, I don't care. Get off the pitch.
The only thing I was disappointed with, I was thinking, oh, nah. Is this going to be a back against the wall? They're going to get a 0-0. That's the only thing.
Well, we're already doing that at times. Yeah, no.
But you know how difficult it is for us, especially in them kind of games at 12:30. I don't know why we always have them. And then on top of that, they're just going to be 10 men behind the ball. We're not going to be able to. And it's going to be like, oh, my God. So while I was happy that Young got sent off, I was thinking about the back of my head, please don't make this. Don't ruin my weekend already.
Because we've seen Liverpool teams in the past struggle against 10 men.
And that's my thinking.
Season, not been too bad, but I think, you know, like you say, it can make a game tougher, but our saving grace is these are absolutely rubbish. They should have gone down last season. They got very lucky with it. Yeah. They didn't really strengthen the way they should have. Some people seem to think Sean Dyche is some good manager. He's not. It's terrible. He's got one win against Klopp in his whole career. I wanted to speak about this as well just for a minute. I know Elliot and Scousers is very different to me because I don't know any Everton fans. I don't have to be around the city if Liverpool are on the losing side of this. So for me, I'm always like, what are you guys scared of? It's Everton. They're a championship.
It's a derby.
It's completely different because of the people you know, the people that you'd have to see if Everton won the game. But for me, like from somebody that doesn't have to face that, these are a rubbish. These are a poor football side. We're trying to win the Premier League. I don't care what anyone tells me. We're not in the top four race. We're going for this title. We're going to beat him twice this season.
Don't say that. Don't say that. This is because I tell you what, last year, the Goodison Park Derby, we were in Tenerife, and it was like the first time the big group of mates we watched it together. And I was like quite happy to do that, thinking it'll be a laugh. Never again. Never again. When Cody scored that goal, I wanted to flatten everyone who was cheering. And then when it got ruled out, honestly.
Oh, you mean the one where he said it was the best moment of his life, scoring an offside goal? Honestly. What a pathetic honestly, man. Honestly.
It was like torture. So I hate them anyway, but Goodison scares me.
Imagine that though, like, oh, what's the best moment of your life? Your daughter being born, getting married, nah, scoring an offside goal against Liverpool. Like, come on, man.
I need a Liverpool fan as well.
Hello, yeah,
he's a play, bro.
Let's move on then to the other side of the red card debate.
It should have been off. I'm sorry.
Ibu was a very lucky man, and Sheikhs, I'll come to you first. Jurgen Klopp knew it with the sub, didn't he?
Bro, immediately the full weight came when he said, get off, cuz. Get off. Get a jacket on. Get some Gatorade in you. Get off. And listen, like, we were lucky there because he should have been off. That's a yellow card. In any walk of the game, unless it's the first minute, even then he's going to get a card because it's obstruction and they're on a break.
The only thing I think that they looked at him for, we're not going to give him enough yellow. Who was it again that was on?
Pawson.
Beto. He's going to cross it. I think it's a foul because of yellow. But I think that's a saving grace. He's already on his way down before Ibu's contacted him.
Yeah, see, the thing is, when I watched the replay at the time, I only saw the chest contact his hand. So I put in the group chat with all my mates. How he threw himself. I'm out on a piece. And then I watched it again, like, hours later, and I saw the clip with the foot, and I thought, well, yeah, probably should have been off there. Really just watched it back. So you weren't too pleased with my bias. But, he got away with it for sure. But it's subjective decisions, isn't it? I think if this isn't a derby, and it's what, let's say, I don't know, today with the West Ham, maybe it's a bit of a hyper value. You know, two of the teams from the bottom, it gets looked past, doesn't it? Where the referees, you know, subject decision. We've had the highlight on factual decisions being wrong because that Tottenham game, when it's subject to decision, you're kind of like 50-50, but obviously it should be a yellow, but the referee for some reason, maybe they are just bad at the job.
What's going to happen now? Every time we get a decision in our way, fans are going to come out. Oh, should have been me. Did you hear that some stupid guy asked Klopp, should there be a replay?
That was fake. It was fake.
Yeah,
was it?
Yeah.
Okay. But nah, listen, I think going forward, though, we are going to get that because people are going to, well, you lot were complaining.
Yeah, but Shiggs, this is what I don't understand, why people are so stupid. The whole thing about Klopp wanting a replay wasn't to do with the red card. It was the offside
goal. Bro, come on. I know that. I know that.
Yeah, I know that you know that. But
you know what? People love an agenda. So anything that goes our way, now they're going to be like, oh, well, look, you didn't complain about that. And it's just like, listen, look, at the end of the day, everyone.
But Klopp does, though. Sorry, Shiggs. Klopp does address it compared to, say, Postecoglou the other week. Klopp addressed it and went, yeah, we got lucky. And just carried on going, we get over it. You know what I mean? Like, all the managers didn't highlight the issue with the Tottenham game. And I think it's just hypocritical. I'm glad Klopp went. We got a bit lucky. I mean, I think Everton fans got a bit, you know, annoyed by that comment, but which is fine.
It's the truth. We get annoyed
at anything. That's fine. You know, but I think it's good that he said it. You know, other managers should say these things where we can address the issue that referees maybe just aren't really at the standard that we need right now. They need to improve, seriously.
Do you know as well, like, I seen when he didn't get sent off, Sean Dyche was shouting, like, this is an effing joke, you're an effing joke. And it's like, hang on a minute, Virgil van Dijk got a three-game ban for that.
Well, Young saw it for official, I think, as well, when he went off the pitch.
We can talk about inconsistencies for everyone. It's not just a Liverpool thing, people will use for an agenda. We
every game, you'll see
every team has inconsistencies. So they'll point at Klopp when things go against them, like, oh, look at him, it didn't happen to him, but we're seeing things every single game where actually a few weeks ago, this is what happened here, this is what happened there. We'll move on. We can all agree Konate was a very lucky boy. He probably should have been sent off. That is the end. Let's be honest, we are annoyed about it, but it is what it is. We could go on all night about things that have gone against us. People just need to deal with it. And when it does happen for us and it is in our favour, I absolutely love the meltdowns. It's absolute delight to watch.
People
lose their mind. Yeah, exactly. Elliot, the VAR Reds were back with a handball. And again, this is what
well,
I don't understand why people.
I mean,
his arms up here. You've got no excuse.
Yeah, I mean, VAR Reds. I mean, to be honest, I thought it was a penalty a minute before that anyway, because Diaz just gets wiped out. I mean, I know it's not like
exactly.
a proper
way. On the commentary team, that was a dive.
Shiggs is going to disagree. I think it is a penalty, you know, because he doesn't get the ball, he gets the man. It's simple as I know it's not
training too
heavy. Yeah, but Diaz was already going.
It's not a heavy challenge. I know that.
Let me ask you this. If that's given against Tsimikas,
I don't think I'd argue for it, because it's one of them where you see that 9 times out of 10, that kind of play where the player drags it back and the
man
why
he didn't get it? He was begging already. He saw us.
Maybe it's a bit harsh, but I think those challenges are more like 9 times out of 10 they're a penalty, because the player comes in, I was nowhere near the ball, comes sliding safe. Onto the actual penalty, Michael Keane, what is he doing? He done it against Leicester last season, and the funny picture where he's going to the ref and he says the ball is his arm. That's a penalty, Keane. And he done it again. Like, why is his arm there?
I couldn't get over it. What's he doing?
I was almost like frustrated before the end. I was thinking, because time and time again, Keane let Everton down. He is not a good defender. Dice trust him for some reason for so long until the brand fights, and it nearly got them. It really nearly got them last season. And I don't know why you get away with
not a penalty, not being given against your.
It's too close. But it was about 6 yards.
Your arm is literally by your side.
If your arm is beside you,
they don't tend to kick, because your arm is not out of the way to try and is by your side. But his arm was literally like,
I was trying to work out why he even went to VAR in the first place. Every single person on the ground, every
He didn't give it. No, but where he was standing, he didn't see it. So I'm not mad at that, man.
I'm saying, how can you not see it when every single...
No,
his arms up here.
No, but Ben, at the end of the day,
people are ruining the game. They're all bullshit.
No, come on. No. I'm not letting you do that. Listen.
You should leave that, mate. I need to see the position that he was standing.
I
can understand why you. I think a ref should give. I mean, I think they lean on VAR in them situations, don't they? So
maybe not, but at the end of the day, listen, that's what VAR was brought in for. If he didn't give it, he can't give it. That's what VAR was there
for.
Well, of course, can you? I mean, refs have given things they ain't seen against us in the past.
Let it go, man. That's a different story and a different debate.
I just don't like officials in this country. I'm sorry. I just don't like them.
But whether you like him or not, they're still
especially now Howard Webb's like the main guy. I dislike him even more. You know what I mean? But
you gotta let it go.
You should have seen it. His arms in the air. There's no need to go to VAR.
Bro, VAR saw it, man. Let it go.
Shiggs, what I'm saying is, if he sees that, which he should, because like I said, his arms in the air, he should have a good position of watching that, because he's watching the attacking team, right? You give the pen, we save 5 minutes of the game. Everyone can go home 5 minutes earlier. People won't have to leave on the 85th minute to go get the train. It saves so much stress.
But to be fair, I think they'll still watch it back, though, and I think every VAR decision takes ages. I was watching Villa West Ham, and some of the decisions they were taking ages on was baffling to me. I say it one go, and I think I'm going to take ages anyway, so I don't think it makes a too big difference.
I get what you're saying, people need to go and whatever. But look, at the end of the day, if they come to the right decision, it doesn't matter if they take 2 minutes or five. They've come to the right decision. That's it. That's all any fan wants.
He rushed it with the Tottenham one, so that was probably why it got it so wrong, because he rushed it. I'm all for taking as long as it's needed. I mean, referees not making a decision on right there, it can be frustrating, but that is why VAR is there. It's just when they get it wrong on VAR, it's the best thing ever. So,
but it is what it is, man. And on that as well, this is what I like about Diaz. When Diaz plays like that, in terms of get the ball and run at people, he's one of the hardest players to play against. But it's when he's like dilly dallying and he's in between and he's not sure. That's when you don't see the best of him.
I think yesterday was probably the best example for Diaz with that, because the way he just put him at left back, I'm like, get off them. It was so bang on when he got sold. He was great yesterday. I thought maybe there was an instance, but Young does really well in the first half. I thought Diaz was great. Young gives himself a death sentence after 20 minutes getting the yellow card against him, because it was so bang on in the centre.
You saw Klopp get physically, like, go at the guy, man. Go at him.
You know, when I saw that Ashley Young was playing fullback for them, I'm not going to lie, I was licking my
I don't know why Patson didn't start. Patson's got legs. Young is 38 years old. I mean, Milner started against Doku yesterday. I was thinking the same thing.
Doku ate him for toast, mate.
Doku was brilliant as well, by the way. But yeah, when I seen that Ashley Young was at fullback, I knew that it was going to be a tough day for them. I knew it. Like, you can't be playing Ashley Young at fullback at Anfield in 2023 and think you're leaving with something. I'm sorry, you can't. But anyway, I'm going to talk about the Salah pen. Obviously, Mo Salah, I said it after the game, and we'll get on to his second goal a bit later, but I said that was his worst performance of the season, and he didn't deserve man of the match, I don't think, even though he scored two goals. There's a certain centre-back, I think, that was man of the match. However, I said it was probably Salah's worst performance, but this is the standard that this man has set at this football club. He's played terribly. His touch is off. He's not linking up how we've seen him this season. Yet he walks away with two goals. This is the greatest Premier League forward. And it took a long time for me to accept that he was better than Luis Suarez, because Suarez, for me, like, technically and individually, he's still a better player. But I think you can't argue now that Mo Salah is the best we've had in the Premier League era. What he's done for this club, and even yesterday when, like I say, he was probably playing at like a 5 or 4 out of 10 over the whole game, yet he walks away with two goals. One's a penalty, one's a brilliant counter-attack. I think that is the level of play we're talking about here. We're not talking about one of the best in the league. We're not talking about one of the best in the world anymore. We are genuinely talking about one of the best of all time. And that's what he is, and that's how good he is. He can drop a stinker, which I think is fair to say yesterday he wasn't good.
But we can allow him goals. That, bro.
Shiggs, he's only two goals behind the Ballon d'Or winner, or whatever they're trying to say is Erling Haaland, which I don't care. I'm still going to say it.
What do you mean behind him? He's not behind him, what? In a goal scoring
this
shot?
Season, yeah. This season, he's only got two less than him.
Haaland is a totally different player to Haaland. He can't, and you know what it is with Salah? Last season, I got on his back because I was just like, you've got this big pay and you haven't stepped up. But not that he hasn't stepped up, but like you said, he's a prisoner of his own standards. Like, he's still got, 19 goals last season, and I'm getting on his back. But this season as well, like, he's, I'm not even just this season, this in general, like, his assist tally as well is also ridiculous.
It's almost like he's taking a different role, isn't it? I mean, I know sitting pre-season where the creativity has just gone up a level. I don't know if it's evolving his game with age, but it seems to have been like...
I know he set up Diaz twice. One of them goals got disallowed. But the second ball that he played in for him, like, bro, the guy said, do you want gravy with it? Like, that's how on a plate it was. Like, so, I look. Again, he didn't have his greatest game yesterday, but I'd rather he have a stinker against Everton rather than against Man City, because Man City, we're going to need him in that game. We're going to need him to cause as many problems as possible. If that's the only stinker he has in the next 6 or 7 games, I'll take that. He rarely has a whole game where he's that bad. Well, I can't remember the last time we played that bad, apart from yesterday.
Yeah, no, I was watching him thinking Mikhailenko's gone for some reason. Mikhailenko, it's not really, you know, he's a bit of an average fullback, and he done well, or whether it was a mix of Salah just being poor. I think it was the second half, maybe, with the crosses. He'd done about 3 crosses first, man, every time. I was thinking, come on, up your game, you've got to be better than that. But the thing is, I think it's when, you know, that time, it's when maybe it's a big game. I think maybe did that happen at Chelsea in the first game of the season, when he gets taken off. And everyone's kind of a bit of like, what's happening? Because he can be poor and he can score too. That is the thing with him. I know Newcastle, Liverpool have a good array of attacking players.
He was pissed when they took him off. He was
exactly, yeah. He has every right to be annoyed, I think so. But
when he was like,
yeah, he was poor.
Yeah.
He loves one of them reactions, doesn't he? And everyone goes, who's Salah's leaving? And the thing is, with saying he's one of the greatest and stuff like that, is that he can carry on this, by the way. He can do this for the 5 years, in my opinion. So I really hope he doesn't end his career by going to the Saudi League. I really hope he doesn't.
Absolutely.
Well, yeah, we'll get to it. Like, go on, so go on.
Sorry, I just want to say a shout out to Sarib, a big part of the Born and Red channel. So yeah, if you guys follow or subscribe to Born and Red, you'll see Sarib on there. He does a very good Gary Neville impression, which everyone always gets him to do, which doesn't usually sit right with me because I hate Gary Neville. it is pretty much spot on. So fair play to him. Yeah, Salah, what is there left to say? Not a great game yesterday. Two goals. Derby day. They're the games where you want your big players to get the goals, and that's exactly what he's done. And he's now as well overtaken Gerrard and Dalglish for goals at Anfield. So,
Wow.
Yeah, that's the level of player we're discussing right now. When you think of how long those guys were at the club for as well in comparison, it's just nuts. It's absolutely nuts. Let's get on to the second goal then, and then we'll talk about a couple of individual players because there are a couple that I do want to talk about before we lose. The winning goal, the goal that sealed the win. Obviously, this lad couldn't play because apparently he had cramp after the Uruguay game. I wanted him to start, but I said in the preview that I didn't see any world where he could start. But he comes on and he does exactly what we've said he's done since day one. He caused chaos. And the thing about Darwin Núñez, which I'm absolutely loving watching right now, is his composure and his concentration when he's got the ball at his feet. Compare it to last season. It's like watching a different player. It honestly is. First of all, let's talk about the pass from McAllister because it was brilliant. Little slotted pass into Darwin's feet. And then he storms the whole half. And then...
Same thing he did last season.
Just passed to
did
Salah.
The same thing last season.
He did. What I'm saying is like, in these big moments last season as well, there were times where he might have rushed the pass or taken a bad touch. But everything that he's touching now at the minute for us, it seems like it's turning to gold. And we've seen it against Brazil as well in the international break, the header that he scored, the assist he got there. And that always shakes. We did so many streams last season. I was just urging and pleading fans to just give this lad some time.
What was he saying, bro?
We signed him for 80 million or whatever it was in total. He's new
give
to the
guy
country.
A chance,
he doesn't
man.
Speak English. He came into a Liverpool team that wasn't functioning. And he still did a good job. He still got like 14 or 15 goals. So, Shiggs, we kept saying last season, wait until Liverpool click and Darwin Núñez will click.
Yeah. I've said it this season. I had not a bet, but people were saying who were give your predictions. And I said, look, Núñez, 30 GA in all comps this season. Wow. I have no doubt about it, bro. Like, the guy, you see as soon as he comes on, like, and shout out to Harvey Elliott as well. We get into him as well, but every time him and our Elliott come on, the game changes. The game, like, it's like the team just goes up a level. Now I don't know if that's just me, but he just seems to add something that. And this is what I like about all of the strikers that we have. Like they all bring something different to the table. Like it's not okay, right? You're stopping Jota from getting headers. All right, cool. We're gonna bring energy to someone running behind. Okay, you're stopping Andy somebody going on the wing. All right, we're gonna be someone that's gonna drop deep and pick up the ball. Like it's and him coming on yesterday. And I know it's they were down to 10 minutes in the corner, but still to take the time because do you remember there was a game, Tottenham versus Liverpool, and Sissoko and Son were one on one with Van Dijk.
Yeah. Yeah,
and look how wrong that went. and I bring that up to say, look, even though your one is two against one, it's not always people get the simple pass.
You know, the times you see that getting done wrong is unbelievable, isn't it? It is unbelievable. Like, it frustrates me every time I watch it.
And for him to just do the simple thing late on, it doesn't even take a touch. One pass into his lane, take a shot, goal, end of game, done. Like. I just want people to just get off his back. Even when he doesn't have the greatest game, you see people, oh, this is why I don't want him. Like the amount of times I'm in another group chat and I had to put it on mute because the amount of people just keep losing their minds. It's like, have you not ever played football? It's everything is not perfect in a game. Someone might not make the right pass or someone might make a tackle that's not in the right, they're not in the right position. That's football. So look, I'm just happy that he's big. You know what? There's people that he will never silence because they always got an agenda against him. But look, as long as he does his job, whether he scores or assists, he's done a job. He doesn't necessarily have to score. If he makes an assist or he makes a pass before the pass, you've done your job. You've helped the team win. That's what you want your players to do, in my opinion, anyway.
Yeah, Elliot.
Yeah, no, I think the one thing with the, I know he missed for the last one, was a bit of a simple goal. Yeah. That should have been against, who was it, Union, where it kind of just, he just doesn't get it right, which is, you know, you want him to score then. But like, I always go back to Haaland had one miraculously good season last year. It was unbelievable. But he missed Sitters as well, and I'm not comparing it to, I'm not going to go into all that dribbling that we had.
Nunes is a better player. I'll say it right now.
I mean, I can
Nunes
see.
Nunes is a better football player than Erling.
I understand what you mean, but I'm obviously that wouldn't be like, you know, people will just go, but Nunes can miss the same as Haaland, because, but he won't be compared. And Haaland missed one against Forest. I said this a few streams ago, and it was one of the worst ones I've ever seen, but he doesn't get it. I mean, it was the thing with Matoma and Walker yesterday as well. He doesn't get highlights because Liverpool always get it on social media, don't they? I mean, it's the same probably Arsenal and Man United, the biggest clubs in the country, so it's expected. I'm not too bad. I think Nunes, I was from when he came on against Fulham and was just mental that first game of last season. I want him to play every game. I think he's brilliant. I love him. I don't think I've loved a player like that in a long time, because he's just mental. But hopefully he's managed properly. We don't see any more kind of, you know, annoying injuries, which you've seen. Maybe an hour against Toulouse on Thursday, and he comes off and save him for.
No, you know what? I don't want him to start against Toulouse. Another 30 minute cameo.
Well, I think because he didn't start yesterday, I think that's how it probably will work. You know what I mean? In terms of, he starts against Union.
I'm saying I wouldn't be mad if he didn't.
Yeah, well, no. I always want to see him though. It makes it.
I do. It's preservation, because if he's having issues where. I don't want him to overexert himself. You play fair.
No, of course.
You build that. Because isn't there another international break in the next couple of weeks or something?
Yeah, at the end of the month.
Yeah.
So, no.
Next month or something. I don't know.
Yeah, so.
It's in a few weeks, isn't it?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. But anyway, that's a conversation for another time. But no, we'll see. Like, I wouldn't be mad if he starts, but I just want to wrap him up in cotton wool.
I think he'll start, and I think he'll go kind of strong against Toulouse. Toulouse are 10th in the French league. Like, I know French league's terrible, but they're not a bad team. So
you'd probably argue the same level as Union, but then again, Union got to the quarterfinals of the Europa last year, didn't he? So, you know, I think he probably has the right to go a little bit halfy-halfy, isn't it? Like he did against Union. I think it makes sense.
Yeah, we'll get on to that in a bit more detail at the end. But obviously, yeah, Darwin Nunes, just finishing on him, brilliant player. And whilst he's fit now, he starts. I think everybody would agree that he's probably the number 9 now. He took the number. I think that was a big statement as well. 7-9, you know, replacing Bobby Firmino, not as a player because they're completely different. But, you know, that number. Yeah. I know there's been some clowns that have taken that number over the years, which we won't speak about. One of them was compared to Darwin Nunes at one point, actually, but I think those comparisons are long.
He got the winner against Everton in that FA Cup.
Yeah, so it was all worth it. £35 million. But yeah, Darwin Nunes, brilliant player. Loved him since day one. Saw the vision. I don't know how people didn't see it, to be honest. He's got all the tools he needs. One of the quickest players I've ever seen. Was always going to work eventually. Let's move on from Darwin Nunes, because like I said, I can talk about this man all night. If we could do a whole podcast on Darwin Nunes. I want to talk about the captain. I want to talk about Mr. Virgil van Dijk. And Shiggs, the reason why I want to talk about him is because I know Salah got the man of the match because he got the 2 goals. But for me, he deserves us to talk about, because he was my man of the match yesterday. There's been a lot of talk about him making mistakes and whatever this season. I think most of it, stems from that red card against Newcastle, because every game I've watched since then, I don't actually think he's been too bad. And I am quite confused as to why some people would say he's not been great this season. But this game, Shiggs, yesterday, he was like 19-20 level Virgil van Dijk.
I told you, man, imperious, bro. Like, didn't put a foot wrong. Like, aerial, no, you're not winning. I know Calvin Lewis got a header on, but that was more because of the team not being in the right place for him to make a challenge. But apart from that, aerial battle on the floor, long ball, short ball, commanding. Like, I want him to keep going under the radar. I want him to keep doing that. Whatever Klopp has said to him in the changing rooms, at the access centre, just keep doing that, bro. And for people to say, he's not what he is, cool, he's not what he is. He is what we need for him right now. That's all we need. And also as well, I think him having a consistent partner is kind of, not yesterday, but if him and Konate play the next, kind of like what Joe Gomez and him had when in the season we won the league.
Yeah,
it's literally, you know, the back four, but obviously Robertson's out injured, but you know the back three, Trent, Konate, and Van Dijk and Gomez or Tsimikas, take your pick, flipping the coin, whatever you want it to be. If for the next 10 games, if that's a back four, I think we keep at least out of 10 games, if they play like that, we keep at least 6 clean sheets, 7, in my opinion. Because I just think it's taken a while, because the injury that he had is not a minor injury. I think people just... No. I don't understand how people just think like...
The fact he came back and done so well, it's going to take us toll even more so, isn't it? Like, it's obvious.
He was never given enough credit for that season.
But it's insane how he came back like nothing had happened. It was insane.
Yeah. People seem to think that our players get out and they come back injured and they should hit form just as they left. He did do that, by the way,
which is even more mental. And then he had a bit of a dip, which is fine. His standards are still so high that he was actually okay, even though people said it was a dip. So I thought he was great yesterday. I thought it reminded me of the Chelsea game, you know, the first game of the season where everyone went, you know what, he could be back to that level. Maybe Everton weren't, you know, too attacking, when there's long balls and he deals with every single one of them, okay, maybe apart from the first one, but Calvert-Lewin's got a fantastic jump on him the first 30 seconds, hasn't he? So that's fine. But the long balls, whenever you're trying to get out and get a counter or maybe get the second ball, and he just deals with them every time, it looked like that's the one I remember watching thinking nothing's going to happen here. Yeah. Okay, Everton's attack wasn't great and the red card isn't out, but I thought he was great yesterday. Yeah. I did highlight it, and I think it needed to be highlighted because he was fantastic. And I thought Konate was again a little bit sloppy, should have been sent off, shouldn't he, of course. So, you know, I think that's why I thought he might lean towards massive, and I think he may, I feel like he was. So I'm not too sure what we'll get with that. I know you've just said she's a consistent back four, so I want to see that as well, even though Robertson's in, you know, Tsimikas playing. But Konate can be a bit, you know, iffy with on the ball of that. So I don't know what you think about that. And Van Dijk is obviously number one. He was great yesterday. But Konate, sometimes, I don't know, I'm a bit nervous at times, for me.
But Elliot, I get it. Konate's only, 22?
Exactly, of course.
This is what we forget, like, Because we see him playing, we're like, this guy is not, he's not even at his peak yet.
Yeah, of course. And there's a bit of a difficult role, isn't it? Where he's still probably learning, everyone's still learning it with Trent going in field. So you got to give him some credit, I suppose.
The one moment for me yesterday where I was like, yeah, this guy is, I don't think he'll ever get back to 18-19 level again. I'll just be as honest as that. He's never going to get back to the level where he's potentially winning the Ballon d'Or. I think everybody would agree.
But yeah, that was a one-off, I think.
The one moment where I was like, yeah, this is the Virgil that we all know. I think it was a bit of sloppy defending from Konate on the left, and then Virgil had to make a late dash. And for a split second, he hadn't really adjusted his body, and they were criticizing him on the commentary for it, saying that, oh, he needs to be, you know, more like side on so he can quick. But the pace that he had to run back in, and then he put the ball out for a corner, and he didn't even like acknowledge Konate, didn't even look at him. He just walked back into position with his head down. And I was like, yeah, that's when you know that like Virgil's angry at you, when he doesn't even look at you. Like, when he just walks back,
he's got a face, hasn't he? He's got a face, yeah, so you can tell. Yeah,
angry, and it's like, you know what? Just seeing the pace from Virgil to get back in and put that ball out for a corner, and yeah, those things. Like, it's just those little things for me. Was like Virgil van Dijk is the best I've ever seen. I'll say it in the league. I don't care. Like, you can throw centre backs at me all day long. There's no centre back that I've seen that was as good as him across that sort of 4-year period. And let's not forget, he was even doing it at Southampton as well, in an absolutely terrible side. So it's not like people going about this longevity thing. It's not true, in my opinion, because he was doing it for at least 18 months before we signed him. Then we should have signed him 6 months before anyway, if Klopp hadn't been meeting him privately in Blackpool.
Listen, fellas, I've got to go because I've got to listen. I'm going to log on and put some messages in the group. But thanks for having me on, Ben. Yeah,
legend, mate. Nice one. Thank you, mate. Take care, bro. But yeah, Virgil, mate. People just disrespect him, and I think it's, we said it about Salah, didn't we, Elliot? He's like a victim of his own success. When you've been that good, the moment you make a few mistakes, people are going to be like, "Oh, Saliba's better," and it's like you can't disrespect him any more than that.
Saliba, yeah, no, I think there's even more. I mean, I do think Saliba's good, but there's a lot of talent to go. for any young defenders to reach the level Van Dijk's seen, and I think Ben Foster mentioned it, didn't he, saying he's the best he's seen? And I don't say I can agree with that, because I respect some of the defenders who have won so many trophies, and they were great, of course. I mean, you've got to think, you know, Van Dijk's a couple of finals and a couple of points swing difference of getting three Champions Leagues and three titles, and I know people will laugh at that, but that is the truth, and he's fantastic. I think there's now even more importance on him and Salah and, you know, Trent, for example, Alisson, because that's the core the team's had for years. It still is the core, but that's the title-winning core. When you've got this new midfield, which Klopp seems to have nailed on perfectly. I know we've got a bit of a dispute with, like, the number six, but at the moment, I don't think it's too big of an issue. They need to be at it, and if they're not at it, they need to just give a confidence out, and I think that's what it's been so important. I think even, you know, Van Dijk scored, taking that into international, scoring the penalty, taking the penalty off Weghorst in the last minute for Haaland, that captaincy, I think it may have taken his authoritativeness, even though it's the highest it probably can be, even further. And I think that's so important now, the fact you've got such a young midfield and a young attack, really, I suppose you can say. With, I know Diaz is a bit older than the others, but Nunez is still young. You know, Jota's not old by any, you know, chance. So it's important that he's taken not necessarily the level of his game, just the level of his authority. And I think he's shown that, as you said, the Kanate thing. I mean, he's been known to do that a few times with the players, because people should be at his level if they're going to be in that back four.
Exactly. Big up, Yuvraj says, VVD has set a high standard, but people assume he's finished. You know what it is? I think people that say don't actually watch Liverpool as much as they probably lead people on to think, because
see the mistakes that get posted on Twitter, and that's it.
Exactly, yeah. If you've watched Liverpool game in, game out, like we all have, like, not one Liverpool fan is sat here like saying that Virgil's had a bad season. I think he's been very good, like, obviously not to the standard that he set, but I said he's not going to get that. He's 32 years old now, but he's still, for me, the best in the world. There's not a centre-back out there that I'd swap him for. Maybe if you're saying, like, you know, the next best young centre back that's available, then, you know, you might consider it, because you might think, you know,
still don't think what my point is with the, you know, he's won it all and he can lead these players. I don't think he will, especially if he's going to be as good as he is.
That's the only situation I'm saying where you'd consider swapping.
Yeah, of course. Maybe for a couple of years.
Yeah, a couple of years. I think he could do it for a couple more years. Exactly.
Yeah, Terry was like 35, 6, wasn't he? John Terry, I think. And he was still very good. I know he got dropped a little bit towards the end, but I think Van Dijk, the pace will diminish, but he's still quick enough to let it go a little bit, if that makes sense. So he'd still be quick enough if the pace was to go a little bit.
Especially if you sort the team out around him as well, which we have started to do, which we have. Mm-hmm, like, exactly. The midfield is just chalk and cheese compared to last season. And you know, if we get that DM in, if that is the plan for January or next summer, we don't know if that is what's going to happen, but we'd all assume that's the next move. You know, that's going to help him even more. So, how good he was when Fabinho was in front of him, when those two were at the peak. It's like, you get that again, you never know what will happen and how long he can play for. But let's talk about Toulouse just real quick, because we're not going to do a preview for Toulouse, guys. I don't think anybody would tune into that, even if we do. But I am going to be at the game, so Elliot, I might need to have a chat with you about a little host.
I'm at the game as well, so unfortunately,
okay. We'll get Shigs on the case then.
We'll be doing a live vlog of the game for you.
Or if not, guys, we'll figure something out. But anyway. Let's quickly pick the team. I'd have loved to have gone with Quirin, but apparently he's
on the bench, wasn't he?
Was he on the bench?
Yeah. I saw a picture, because he was yawning at one point, and I said to me, "Dad, he needs to wake up." He was definitely, whether he was just with the squad, I'm not too sure. I'll have a quick look for you if you want to carry on.
If he was on the bench, then I'll play him.
Yeah, I'll try and get it off. Where am I?
He was on the bench. He was.
Yeah, he could have been there. Okay. Yeah, so I'd definitely throw him in, of course.
Well, Alisson played the last one at Anfield, didn't he?
Yeah, but I think that was purely because he wasn't available, wasn't it? And otherwise, you'd have had to have... Well, Adrian's not registered, and otherwise it would have been a child in goal. So I think it was that was probably forced, wasn't it? Because it's the only time he's going to get play time, game time, isn't it? So he's got to.
Exactly. What's your back four, mate?
It's a difficult one, isn't it? Because I'm on the assumption he's going to do what, like what you said, what he's going against Union, because I think he wants rhythm. He loves that word, doesn't he? It's a bit of a trigger word for him. He loves a bit of rhythm. I think Tsimikas, he'll do Tsimikas because, as Shiggs mentioned, he needs probably a bit of game time. I think Gomez at right back and Quanta and Matip would seem logical, I guess, because Quanta, you'll want him to have game time to keep progressing. Gomez has been fantastic at right back so far this season, and Massa didn't play on Saturday, so I suppose I don't think there's any other arguments for anything else, unless he goes strong. Because Van Dijk like, played against Union, didn't he? Or did he? Well, no, he didn't. I don't think he did. I'd go with that. I don't know if about you.
No, I agree. I'm more than confident with Jarrell Kwanzaa coming into these games now. I think he's quickly
started. I enjoy it more, to be honest. He's got a new player to watch.
Yeah, exactly. He's brilliant. On the ball, fantastic. Off the ball, fantastic. Wish we had him like at this. So Kwanzaa as he is now in the season where we needed centre-backs instead of those.
Not Reece Williams, not being out of the ball. Crazy.
Is Endo coming back into this?
Yeah, I mean, I said that teams who go low block, maybe not, but he's got to, if he doesn't play him on Thursday, I think a serious conversation needs to be said about how it's almost like a Ben Davis situation. He doesn't rate him. If he doesn't start, or even if he gets dragged off for half time, to lose, what do you say, 10th or something in League Union? I'm not disrespecting them. Yeah, like, I didn't want to disrespect Union because they've done well in the Europa League last season, but these teams have should be beaten an Endo, not getting a full game against them. I think they'd be a serious conversation at that point. If he doesn't start, especially because why sign him? And I mean, I know Mike has a different point of view on that, but what was 18 million? You've got to play him.
Surely, if even Mike and even myself, like I've defended it. Like he's just going to be a backup player. Like, that's all he is, and that's not a bad thing. Like you need backup players, especially when you're playing Thursday, Sundays.
But he's got to play. Yeah,
you can't be a backup player and not be a backup player.
Totally, like you don't get the point of it, then do you? It doesn't make any sense, but yeah, I'll go with him. And then the thing I don't want to do is change like 11th, you know what I mean? Because you can always tell when that happens. So I'd go with Gavin Birch again, But then, a good comment's just been made about Jones. You forget about him, don't you? Because he's suspended, but he can play. But then I want to see Elliot, so it depends. Maybe you put Elliot on the wing or Jones Doak's on the wing.
Not available, is he?
Is he not? Is he not?
Well, he was injured for Scotland and I've not heard anything since.
Oh, of course. Well, he didn't start anyway, did he, against the Union? So maybe Klopp's just eased him a little bit more. So if he's been injured, I don't think so. I mean, then it depends who you put on the wing, whether you put Jones or Elliot. But then it all... Then it also depends if he wants to go stronger than that, you know what I mean? Salah started against the Union.
These are strong players. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, I'm not doubting that. But like, you know, in terms of a rustiness with the 11, I think it was kind of noticeable against Union a little bit. No, it was last. Sorry, he changed the 11 for last, didn't he? I think, and we went 1-0 down very early on. So, so that was quite noticeable. So I don't think he wants to do that too much. I think Nunes for an hour, or maybe Gakpo's fit, isn't he?
No, I agree. I think Nunes starts and Nunes for plays an hour. They want him to play.
Maybe Gakpo might not be too ready. I know he's in full training, and so. Maybe you mean Gakpo on the wing. We haven't seen that too often, but I don't think he likes him on the wing, does he? So
Gakpo wasn't on the bench though, was he? Even though he's in
training. Was he not? Then maybe he's not ready. Maybe he's only ready for the bench then. And then who would you do on? Who did you do on the left?
Who's available?
Diaz, Jota.
Probably Diogo.
Yeah, I was thinking that he likes to go with Jota more often than not, doesn't he? So. Especially Diaz, you know, he's still realistically coming back from a long-term injury. I know we're 9 games in, but it can take its toll later on, can't it? So I think that would make sense. And you've got a few starters from Saturday as well, so.
No, exactly. I think that team should get the job done.
Excited for it. I just want to watch Gravenberch and Nunes and Kwanzaa and Kelleher.
That's something you've always said, Elliot, from the start, from the moment we knew we were in the Europa League. You said, and I'll always remember that, you saying this, like, this team, no one wants to be in Europa League. We don't actively want Liverpool to not get top four last season. But now we're in it. This is an opportunity.
Make the most... Yeah,
exactly. Joel Kwanzaa would not be playing if this was a Champions League game.
Exactly. He'd
probably gone out on loan.
Or he's just rotten away almost as the fifth choice, and that's no good for anyone. So, and maybe you get the Champions League games with the team from Pot 4 or whatever it's called, like the Michelins, and that would maybe get the chance. But one game out of six or two games out of six is not good enough. So Europa League, no one wants to be in it. I was so persistent with this, and the whole reason was do the transfer rebuild properly, because there was some hesitation about Fabinho getting sold at the time, and I was thinking, get rid of him, get the money you're not going to get. Not to be harsh, absolutely love him, he's a legend.
Get out.
But get rid of him, do the rebuild properly, because you're going to have six games to and then cup games, of course, as well, to ease them in. And that's why I get annoyed when Endo got subbed off for half-time games. Let's see a bit more of him. Maybe people get disgruntled because maybe he's not up to some sort of standard that we don't know if he is or he isn't, because we're not getting a proper chance. And that's why I think if he doesn't start on Thursday, it's going to look like a bit of a Ben Davies situation. Maybe not to the extreme, because he obviously starts against Newcastle. He's had appearances and he's looked good. That's what annoys me. The Leicester game, I thought he's brilliant. So, you know, I want to see him. I want to see Gavin Bates. I always want to see Nunes, but I'd love to see Kelleher and Conte. Tsimikas as well, because we need to see him play well. We need to see him play well.
Do you know what the one is for me, which really makes me sad? Like, this competition was Stefan's.
I was going to say that. Has he been any... We'll have to wait for the press conference, won't we? But yeah. I don't think he said anything recently.
But this would have been Stefan's competition to just almost let him go and just, you know...
19
almost...
today, isn't he? If he's watching Ati Verdi.
Oh, yeah. Of course, 19 today. I mean, yeah.
Younger than me. 2 years younger than me.
Been out for a long time now. Obviously, he came back, played a game at right back. He was actually quite good in that game as well.
I think that role is quite nice for him. I don't know about you, because he gets to do... He was a defender when he was in the academy, and there's a brilliant... goal, I think, when he just drives the ball.
Yeah,
it's brilliant. So I think the invasive goal, I used it on Footy Manager with him. He was great. So I'd love to see him, but unfortunately that injury just taken a bit of a big toll on him, hasn't it?
Yeah, and he's been out for absolutely ages. And like I say,
yeah, so there's no need to rush him. Absolutely no need to rush him back.
When you made that point about, you know, these players needing the competition, he was the first one that thought, right, he starts every game. But it's not worked out. There's still time. He still could come back. And
yeah, I mean, you never know. We'll have to wait and see.
Even in the knockouts, if we get, like, you know, favourable opponents, he can still play in those. But, yeah, hopefully he comes back soon, because I do think... especially now with Gravenberch, Szoboszlai, McAllister. If he plays with any of them, he's only going to get better and better and better, because with all due respect to the other guys, he's not playing with people that can't kick a football. He's playing with people that actually have, you know, high IQ and that are technically gifted. So for me, I think it would only have been a good thing. But we'll see what happens. But guys, that is going to be the end of today's pod. Please make sure you smash the like button, subscribe to the channel, turn on notifications, all of that stuff. Somebody will be here on Thursday night. Still quite to lose. I don't know who.
Me and you at the ground.
Yeah, because I'm staying overnight there, because my brother isn't able to get there, so I'm actually staying the night. I could take my laptop, but there's no guarantee that I'll have good Wi-Fi. So not that I have good Wi-Fi here anyway. It's absolutely shocking. But yeah, I'll try. We'll see what happens. But if we can't get it out on Thursday, I doubt we'll do it, because no one's going to watch a Toulouse reaction on the Friday. So guys, make sure you stick around. Subscribe to the channel if you haven't already. Turn on notifications. Thank you to the sponsor again, Your Foot Card. Use TAT Pod at checkout for 15% off, and we'll see you next time. Take care, guys.
Sports Social Podcast Network.